This morning we continue our series on the topic of the Beatitudes. And it's so good to see everyone here today, and we're glad that you're with us. And we invite you to open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 5 at this time. And let's read together these words of Jesus here in Matthew chapter 5 and verses 1 through 10. And seeing the multitudes, he went up on a high mountain. And when he was seated, his disciples came to him. Then he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. This begins the section of Scripture that we refer to as the Sermon on the Mount. And that is in Matthew chapters 5, 6, and 7. And Jesus is talking in this great sermon of the characteristics of those who would be part of God's kingdom. And at the beginning of this sermon, he talks about these wonderful attitudes that he desires that all have within their lives. We need to be the kind of people that God wants us to be. And to be those kind of people, God wants us to have these characteristics within our life. He wants us to be poor of spirit. He wants us to mourn for our sins. He wants us to be meek. He wants us to hunger and thirst for righteousness. He wants us to be merciful. He wants us to be pure in heart, to be peacemakers. And understanding all of those things as we apply them within our life, it's going to come to pass that there are going to be those who persecute us for righteousness' sake. But when we have these attitudes within our life, we can really be the kind of people that God wants us to be. And these attitudes build one upon the other. That is, before we can be those who mourn, we've got to be poor in spirit. Before we can mourn, or before we can be comforted, we've got to mourn for our sins. Before we can be meek, we've got to accept God's ability to comfort us. Before we can hunger and thirst for righteousness, we need to be meek people. Before we can be merciful, we need to hunger and thirst for righteousness. So all of these things depend upon one another. And this morning we're going to talk about being pure in heart. And so all of these other qualities, before we can be pure in heart, we've got to have these other qualities within our life. We've really got to mourn for our sins. We've really got to be poor in spirit. We've really got to be meek. We've really got to hunger and thirst for righteousness, and we really need to be merciful to others. And when we have these attitudes and characteristics within our life, then we can be pure of heart. Being pure of heart is at the center of these Beatitudes, because these Beatitudes are all about the heart. And when we talk about the heart, we're not talking about the vessel that pumps blood throughout our bodies, as important as that vessel is for life. We're talking about the center of our being, our will, our emotions, our conscience, our intellect. We're talking about all of these things that make up the human person and who we are as people. We're talking about our morality and our rationality. We're talking about our spirit and our soul and our very life itself. You see, because being pure of heart encapsulates all of those things, and they all go into what it means to be pure of heart. And one of the greatest blessings that is in the Beatitudes here is the result of being pure in heart. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Now that's a fantastic thing. That is something that is going to really give us the greatest experience that we have ever had, or ever will have, for that matter. To one day stand in the very presence of God and to see Him as He is. There's some people who don't believe that's going to happen. I feel sorry for them. Because Jesus said right here, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." If we're pure in heart, we're going to see God. And that's the great promise of this beatitude. Now I know that there are many people who want to see God in the world today. But there are many people who are not going to see God because they did not practice this beatitude within their life. Because they are not pure of heart. Because they have encumbered themselves with all kinds of things that have nothing to do with God and about which God really doesn't care that much. So to be pure in heart, we've really got to focus upon our desire to see God and to be with God. And we've really got to focus upon this idea that I want to know God and I want to be with Him someday and be blessed by His very presence. Now if we can do that, then we will go a long way toward motivating ourselves to be pure in heart. Because ultimately, when it's all said and done, there's only going to be two things left when this world ends. There's going to be the souls and spirits that God has created to live forever. That's one thing that's going to exist. God is going to exist forever. And the relationships that we have with one another, those things are going to exist forever in some way and in some fashion. So there's only very few things that are going to persist throughout eternity. And how important is it then that our hearts be pure? Because that's one thing that's going to persist. That's one thing that's going to exist. That's one thing that's going to continue on forever is the existence of our own souls and spirits that the Bible calls our hearts. Now we need to be pure in heart. When we think about the word pure, what do we think about? I think about this ring right here that I have on. Wedding ring. It's made of gold. And that gold has been purified to the point where it doesn't tarnish. It doesn't stain. It stays persistently in this state. It is something that I have with me that I've had now for almost 25 years. I'm kind of proud of that, I guess. Maybe I shouldn't be, but I am. But that gold is pure. It's been purified for a purpose and for a reason so that it can be something not only the day that I purchased it, but so that it will last and continue on even into the future. Purity is something that we need within our life. It's the idea of something that's unspoiled. It's the idea of something that's unmixed. It's elemental in its nature. Just as this gold is elemental in its nature, it's one of the elements, you know, in the periodic table, the scientific periodic table. Gold is one of those elements. There's something special about it. And there's something special about being pure of heart. A pure heart is a heart that's at the center of our being, that is focused upon God's designs and purposes. And it's not really focused upon the purposes of the world or our own selfish purposes. But really, it's a heart that sees things as God sees them. It's a heart that reflects the life of Jesus and that is going to live that life and really going to sacrifice that life for Jesus and is really going to identify with Jesus and then is going to do things the way that Jesus did those things. And why did Jesus do things the way that he did things? Because he is the second Adam. He is the man whom God has created to replace the first Adam who fell and who allowed his heart to become corrupt, who allowed his heart to become besmirched by his own selfish desires and by the desires of the world. But Jesus didn't do that, you see. He stayed pure. He stayed clean. And he always did the will of the Father. And because of that, he is now the perfect standard for us for how to live and how to have a clean heart and how to have a pure heart. And so when we think about having that pure heart, that's got to be our central thought. Seeing things the way God sees them. Doing things the way Christ does them. And being ultimately what God wants me to be, because that's what God created me to be. Fulfilling His purposes within my life, and those purposes start with understanding what my purpose is here on the earth, and that's to love God with all of my heart, soul, mind, and to love my neighbor as myself. And if I begin with that, then I begin to understand what it means to have a pure heart. The pure in heart are blessed. Oh, they're so blessed. They're so happy. They're so content. They have such joy within their life because they put off all of those corrupting elements of the world and they've simply allowed God to come into their life, the one who is most pure himself, and to guide their lives and to really direct their being and their existence for Him. And none of the worries and concerns of this world affect them because they give all of those things to God and let Him handle them on a daily basis. And they can live that life of being pure and wholly His each and every day. This means that the pure in heart are sincere. They are so sincere. In fact, the pure in heart are so sincere that some people can't believe who they're dealing with when they deal with somebody who's pure in heart. And they question their motives. They question their designs because they think, he can't possibly be that sincere. But he is, because he's given himself to God. Being sincere means that our hearts aren't mixed with impure thoughts, which come from the selfish man who longs to preserve himself from his fears, which he'll never be able to deal with. But Paul told Timothy, or told Titus in Titus chapter 2, verses 7 and 8, in all things, showing thyself a pattern of good works, in teaching, showing uncorruptness, gravity, listen, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned. That he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. Sincerity. That's a key thought here in thinking about what it means to have a pure heart. When we see things as God sees them, we're going to be sincere. But we're also going to be authentic. Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 1 verse 12, for our rejoicing is this, the testimony of our conscience, that in simplicity and godly sincerity, you, not with fleshly wisdom, but by the grace of God, by the grace of God, we have had our conversation in the world, or our manner of living in the world, and more abundantly to you. Now, what Paul is saying here is that we can have joy within our life because our conscience is clean. We can have joy within our life because we're living our lives in a simple way. We can have joy within our life because we are sincere. We don't practice fleshly wisdom. We don't bring in these base desires and try to corrupt ourselves with all kinds of machinations of the world that is trying to manipulate others and trying to control people and trying to bring our own desires and our own will to power over others. We don't have any of that. Because we've put it all away and we're able to be simple people, to be sincere people, and not allow that fleshly wisdom to control us. And that's how God wants us to live. You see, that's a pure life. That's a sincere life. That's a simple life. And it comes from being pure of heart, from seeing things the way God sees them. These people are sincere. These people are simple. They're not deceitful with others. 2 Corinthians 2:7, "For we are not as many which corrupt the word of God, but as of sincerity, but as of God, in the sight of God, we speak in Christ." So having that pure heart means that we can really talk about God and His Word and really let God's Word speak to others within their life without having to worry about what they're going to think of us or what they might do, because ultimately, you know, that's under their power and under their control. It's not under our control. We don't have to be in control because God is in control of all things. And He can really bless us when we let that happen within our lives. Simplicity means that things aren't complicated. Things aren't complicated. Oh, how we like to complicate things. How many of y'all have Facebook? You don't have to raise your hand, but I know there's a lot of people out there on Facebook, right? Have you ever seen somebody on Facebook? You know, there's a status, or there used to be a little status about relationship on Facebook, right? And, you know, it'll say single, or it'll say married, or it'll say in a relationship. And there's one of the selections on there say, "It's complicated." Have you ever seen that? It's complicated. Why do we let our life become complicated? Because we insert our own desires and our own will into circumstances, and we confuse things for others, and others become confused, and as a result of that, we become confused, and before too long, we really don't know what to do about this relationship and about this situation. And then finally we say, "Well, goodness, if this is so complicated, what? I don't want to have anything to do with it." And we just give up on it entirely, and we just let it go, and we end up really destroying friendships, and we end up really breaking relationships. And God doesn't want that. But you see, we can do something about that. We can let go of self. We can let go of our own desires. We can let go of our own will. And we can see things as God sees them. We can see other people as those who are truly made in the image of God, and truly objects of God's love. And then we can look at things from that perspective and say, you know, the only thing that I really have to do is love one another. And that simplifies things so much. You see, I don't have to control that person. I don't have to try to get in there and manipulate them to do what I want them to do. I don't have to worry about what their choices might be or might not be and how that might affect me, because I'm not trusting in them, I'm trusting in God. And He can really help me to love that person. Now let me tell you something. That's all people really want. They want to be loved. They want to have these relationships. How do I know that? Because God made us for relationships. He told us in the beginning in Genesis chapter 2, it is not good that man should be alone. He wants us to have relationships. He wants us to love each other. And He created us for that very thing. And so when we sometimes say, "Well, I don't know what to do, it's so complicated, I'll just end that relationship," we're really not doing what God wants. We're really not seeing things with a pure heart. We're really not loving people the way God wants us to love people. But what do we have to do to correct that situation? We've got to let go of self, and we've got to see things as God sees them. And then we can have simplicity within our lives. It's not complicated anymore because there's just a single focus. Me and my relationship with God. And God's going to handle everything else. You know, there are so... The number of relationship grows exponentially with the number of people that are surrounding us. So, for example, two people, there's one relationship. With three people, all of a sudden you have four relationships. With four people, there's seven relationships. With five people, well, then that grows to 11 relationships. And the more people you add to the mix, the more relationships grow. And by the time you have an audience this size, okay, 110 type people, something like that, maybe. 110 folks, you have got over 5,000 relationships. Now, I can't keep up with that. But God can. And He can help me. And He will help me if I put my faith and trust in Him. And you see, when I do that, when I just worry about that one relationship between me and God, guess what? I can have a pure heart. I really can. And I can do what God wants me to do. And I can see things the way God wants me to see it. Consider Titus chapter 1 and verse 15. To the pure, all things are pure. But to them that are defiled and unbelieving, nothing is pure. But both their mind and their conscience are defiled. To the pure, all things are pure. Yeah, we can be pure. God wants us to be pure. And we can have that sincerity. We can have that simplicity. We can have that contentment. Paul wrote, the things which you both learned and received and heard and saw in me, these things do, and the God of peace will be with you. Philippians 4 and verse 9. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall guard your hearts and your thoughts in Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 7. You mean I can have peace within my life? You can. How do I have that? By trusting in God. By seeing the things the way God sees them. And by having that pure heart. The pure in heart are blessed because they are sincere, simple, and serene. The pure in heart are blessed because their lives are clean. James wrote in James chapter 3 and verses 17 and 18, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. Purity of life follows from purity of heart. And when our hearts are pure, when we have purity of heart, then we are going to be a peaceful people. We're going to be gentle. We're going to be willing to yield to others. We're going to be full of mercy, of good fruits. We're not going to be hypocrites. We're not going to deal with people in a manner that respects persons. We're not going to be bigots. We're not going to be racist. We're not going to be partial toward others. We're going to treat everybody equally because we're seeing things the way God sees them. And that's how God sees everybody, equally. The greatest source of purity to have that clean life is Jesus Christ. And we talked earlier about how it's all about Him, and it really is. We need Christ within our lives. We're saved by Christ. And our hearts can be purified by Christ. Acts chapter 15 and verse 9. Christ purifies our hearts by faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Romans 10 and verse 17. And when we have that pure heart of faith, of trusting in Christ, believing in Him, we're going to do what He says. We're going to be obedient to His will because we know that trusting in Him will produce the greatest amount of joy and peace and satisfaction, contentment within our life. And God really wants us to have that. Now, God doesn't want us to have all this junk that people say God wants them to have when they think they know what they need to do to be happy. That's not what God wants. But God wants us to have contentment. He wants us to have joy. He wants us to have peace. And He can accomplish that in us. But it's not accomplished by the things that are outside of us. It's accomplished by what we do inside of us. By where we put our faith. By where we put our trust. And by what we let go of. And how we perceive everything. And by seeing things the way God sees them, I can really perceive things the way God wants me to perceive things and have that pure heart. And Jesus Christ is the key to this. Now, Peter tells us in 1 Peter 1, verse 22 this, "Seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another from a pure heart fervently." That is to put energy into it. And when we put energy into loving one another and be obedient to Christ, we are going to live pure lives. We are going to have pure hearts. And we will truly be the kind of people that God wants us to be. Now the pure in heart have a great promise. A great promise. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And that motivates them to live those pure lives on a daily basis. It motivates them to see things the way God sees them. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who shall stand in His holy place? He that has clean hands and a pure heart. He who has not lifted up his soul to vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. He shall receive the blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is the generation of them that seek Him, that seek His face, O Jacob. Now just let that sink in for a moment. The psalmist is saying, the pure in heart are really going to see God. They're really going to know Him. They're really going to be able to appreciate Him. They're really going to love Him. And one day, they're really going to be able to stand before Him. And what a blessing it will be to see God one day. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no one shall see the Lord. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 14. Beloved, now we are the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. And everyone that has this hope in Him purifies himself even as He is pure. If you have the hope of seeing God one day, then you're going to be pure in heart. Because you will want to see God more than anything else in this life. Now, being pure in heart helps me in so many ways. And that's what it's really all about. It's really about my heart and how I'm living. And in living, our goal and our purpose and our aim is to love God and to love one another. That's what it means to be pure in heart. That's what Jesus did perfectly. That's why we've got to follow Him. That's why we need to pattern our lives after Him. That's why we need to trust in God and believe in God. Because He really knows what He's doing. And He can really give us that simplicity of life, that sincerity. He can take all of the complication away. He can make things so simple for us that all that is left is what God created. And you know, God doesn't create junk, right? He only creates things that are good. Now, when all we have left is what God created in our life, you know what's going to be there? Joy, peace, goodness, love, mercy, all of these things that we so long to have. And you do really want them. You want them for yourself. And you should want them for others. And so let's be pure in heart so that we can be the kind of people that God really wants us to be. Let's see things the way that God sees them. And the first thing we need to do in that regard is to really look at Christ, to really understand His will for our life, and to really give ourselves to Him. Now, how do you do that this very moment? If you're not a Christian, you do it by hearing His Word and believing it, repenting of your sins, confessing Jesus as your Lord, and being baptized for the remission of your sins so as to identify with Christ. If you're a Christian, you do this by looking at people the way God looks at people, loving them the way that God loves them. And if you haven't been doing that as a Christian, then make the changes that you need to make this morning. Really become someone who's pure in heart today. And if you need help doing that, then look, I'm available. The elders are available. Whoever you would like to talk to is available to help you to be the kind of person that God wants you to be and to be pure in heart. And why not make those changes this morning? You can do that. You have the opportunity to come forward right now, or you can talk to someone later, whatever your choice is. We have this song of invitation ready. If you would like to make a request known at this time, you can do so while together we stand and sing.